Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and let's get into this episode. This episode is going to be The Six Shooter. Original air dates, April 15th, 1954, and the title is Crisis at Easter Creek. Hope you enjoy, and again, thanks for listening.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as The Six Shooter, just one of many fine programs brought to you each week on NBC. Tomorrow night, there's top comedy entertainment with The Bob Hope Show, The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, and Can You Top This with Senator Ford. Bob Hope delivers rapid-fire comedy routines, while Phil Harris and Alice Faye bring both mirth and music. It's a great Friday night lineup of comedy programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle, unmarked. People call them both The Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
I hadn't attended a Tuesday evening choir practice in quite a spell, but when Reverend Broom stopped by the Tropical Ranch where I was working and asked me if I could manage to take part in this week's rehearsal, well, I sure couldn't see how to do any harm, so I... Ringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, ringing in the sheaves. Anyhow, there we are, about 10 of us all gathered around. John Farley's general store, it was. You see, the town of Easter Creek didn't have a regular church building yet. They held their services and social affairs in the mercantile while they went ahead trying to raise money to put up a community church. It was during the second verse of Bringing in the Sheaves that things started sounding a little peculiar, sort of like the voices and the music were sort of traveling different trails. First, I thought it was me. I never have been exactly what you'd call melodious, but then the other folks were beginning to have their troubles, too. And holy smokes, it just was getting terrible. And finally, Mrs. Peebles, she was the organist, she just threw up her hands and stopped even trying to play.
I can't go on, Reverend Broom. I simply can't.
No, Elvira.
But this organ just won't play anymore.
Well, we'll have Mr. Farley take another look at it, Elvira. I'm sure he'll be able to get it back into shape.
There's nothing Mr. Farley can do, or anybody else. It's plain wore out. You can't expect a thing to last forever.
Well, no, of course
Seems
not.
Seems to me that after all this time, something could have been done about buying a new organ. When I donated this one to the congregation, I didn't suppose I'd have to go on playing it all the rest of my life. But apparently that's what's expected.
Now, there's no need to upset yourself, Elvira.
Well, I can't help being upset. I say I can't help it. How do you think I feel every Sunday? All those sour notes, and that wheezing and whining. Folks are beginning to think that it's me, that it's my playing.
No.
Well, I've been humiliated for the last time, and I won't go through it again.
But Elvira, we gotta have music for Easter service.
Music? Well, you certainly don't call that music, do you? Good night, Reverend Bruce.
Oh, somebody get her back.
All right, everybody. Give me your attention, please. Attention, folks. Quiet down now, please. Quiet down. It appears that matters have come to a serious crisis. It's bad enough for a town by the name of Easter Creek not to have a proper building for Easter services. But to be without an organ and an organist, well, it's a disgrace, a positive disgrace. Now, we mustn't blame Miss Peebles. That instrument has seen its best days, there's no doubt about it. So I propose that we take immediate steps to purchase a replacement.
Just one thing, Reverend Boone.
Yes, Sheriff.
Where's the money coming from?
Well, now, I've given that matter serious thought, Sheriff Appleton, and there seems to be only one possible solution to the problem. We'll just have to borrow from the building fund.
That's sort of like robbing Peter to pay Paul, isn't it?
No, not exactly, not exactly. Seeing as how we haven't reached our $1,000 goal anyway, well, the money's just sort of lying there.
I don't know about that.
Just how much do you figure a new organ will cost, Reverend Bruce?
Well, I've done some investigating in the field, Mrs. Appleton. Last month, when Elvira's foot went through the pump pedal, it seemed like the situation was coming to head. The church over to Whitefield purchased a new organ just last Christmas, and they're willing to sell us their old one. It's used, of course, but it's still in excellent repair. And they're only asking $95.
No. I'm afraid that's a bit more than we can afford, Reverend.
We must have at least $95 in the building fund. We've been putting money aside for the last year.
No, we ain't. We got $42.50. That's the total. Up to and including $3.65 in the cake bazaar a month ago.
$42.50?
Yep.
Oh, I just had no idea I was...
We're shy over $50 from what it would take to buy the organ. And there just isn't any way we could raise it. Not between now and Easter.
Now. We mustn't give up. After all, we only need $50.
$52.50.
Yes, exactly. Let's see. There was just someone who could take a firm grip of the situation. A man who... Mr. Ponson.
Yes, Reverend.
Mr. Ponson, I know you aren't a regular member of our congregation, and you've only been in our midst a few months. But...
Well, I sure be glad to donate what I can to the cause, Reverend, but I'm afraid it'd only be a drop in the bucket.
Oh, a donation wasn't exactly what I had in mind.
Oh?
I think perhaps you can be of more service in another fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, I propose that we appoint Britt Ponson, a committee of one, to take charge of the organ raising.
Oh, now hold on a minute here, Reverend Broome.
We all know that you're a man of strength and determination, Mr. Ponson. That you inspire confidence, and we trust generosity.
Well, now, I'd sure like to oblige you folks, but what you're asking is just out of the question, that's all.
You wouldn't turn us down in our hour of need.
Oh, no, I'm not turning you down exactly. What I mean is, it just couldn't be done. Why, you've been a whole year raising $42.50, and now you're talking about raising over $50 in just a few days.
Well, we've been going at it the wrong way, Mr. Potson.
What?
I'm sure your approach will be 100% more effective.
My approach?
Why, certainly. And just to show you how easy it'll be, we'll start things off by taking up a collection right now. Sheriff Appleton, will you pass the hat?
But,
all right, everybody. Dig down deep. It's a wonderful thing Mr. Ponsett's doing in taking over this fundraising campaign.
But I never said
and
a word.
And here's our chance to let him know how much we appreciate it.
Reverend. Well, the sheriff finished passing the hat and poured it out on the table, and Reverend Broome counted it. $2.50. And yet the reverend was real pleased, too. He said that meant that I only had $50 to go, a nice round number. Well, not that I had any intention of taking this job of raising the money to get the new organ, you understand. I told the reverend I couldn't do it. I told him just as plain as day that I couldn't do it, but somehow he got the idea that I had already agreed to do it, and no matter how hard I talked, he just kept... And the other folks, they... They were as bad as Reverend Broome. They are just outnumbered. That's all there was to it. So, early the next morning, I took my hat in my hand and started out. Must have been getting around noon when I finally came back to the sheriff's office.
Oh, come in, Bet. Come in.
Morning, Abner.
Well, how's everything going? You been out collecting?
Yeah, I've been collecting.
Well?
Well, $11. That's what I got so far.
$11, huh? That's remarkable, Bet. Simply remarkable.
But the trouble is, I've already asked everybody in town.
Uh-huh.
Except you, that is.
Oh, well, I suppose I could give you a dollar, but don't forget I was in on the collection at choir practice. You ain't serious, Britt. You don't mean you really ask everybody else.
As a matter of fact, there is one area I sort of skipped over.
Oh?
Well, those cabins over east of the creek and the ranches out that way. I haven't visited them yet.
Well, you'd just be wasting your time if you did.
I would,
Yeah, those folks wouldn't be very anxious to help out a church. Mess of thieves, cattle rustlers, every other kind of riffraff.
Oh, is that what they are? Oh.
Oh, well, now, that's just a general census of opinion. Of course, if I could know for certain that we had any actual outlaws living around Easter Creek, if I was positive, that is, well, it'd be my duty to arrest them.
I see, uh-huh.
But the fact is, they ain't caused any trouble here in town, none of them. I can't go around arresting people on rumors. Well, can I, Britt?
Hmm. I understand Red Eye Kirk has a place somewhere east of town, isn't it?
That's hearsay, Britt. Oh. Pure and simple hearsay.
Oh, I see.
Why, you don't think I'd let a notorious gunfighter like Red Eye live right here under my nose, do you?
Well, it's too bad he's not in these parts.
Oh?
No, I was thinking I might like to pay him a little visit.
Well, what on earth for?
Well, as long as he's not in the neighborhood, I guess it doesn't matter. Kind of a shame, though.
Well, now, if you're really anxious to... what I mean is... but they do say there's a fellow who somewhat resembles Red Eye. He's got himself a cabin just this side of Deer Mountain.
Just this side of Deer Mountain, huh?
Wait a minute, Red. Wait a minute. What in Sunday do you want to get mixed up with Red Eye Kirk for? What's he got to do with raising money for a new organ?
Well, he probably won't have anything to do with it, but it's just that I don't want to leave any stones unturned, you see. So long, Abner. It was about a half hour's ride out to the cabin Sheriff Applin told me about. Not much of a cabin, though. Just a shack at the foot of Deer Mountain with a corral off one side. There sure were a lot of different brands on the horses in that corral. Well, I pulled up in the yard about 15 feet from the cabin door. For a minute, it didn't seem like there was anybody at home, but... And then I heard the door start to creak open. The barrel of a .45 poked into sight. The man behind it was tall, square-shouldered, and thick black beard, and kind of reddish eyes. Howdy.
What do you want, mister?
I'm looking for Red Eye Kirk.
Ain't nobody here by that name.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe you'll do, then.
What?
My name's Ponsett, Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett?
Now, hold on. I'll just take it easy with that gun.
Get him up. Get him up high.
Oh, sure. How's this?
You alone?
Yep, not alone.
You must be plumb crazy thinking you can take me single-handed.
No, I'm not interested in taking you, Red Eye.
I told you that ain't who I am.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yes, you did. Yes, that's right. You mind if I get off my horse?
Well, just don't try nothing, that's all. And don't move toward your holster.
Don't worry.
That's close enough.
Sure.
Now, what are you doing out here, anyway?
Well, the fact is, you see, Mr., what'd you say your name was?
Jones. Bill Jones.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Jones, I've been given the job of raising some money.
What?
Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't my idea, but since it was for such a good cause, I just couldn't turn the folks down.
Good cause?
A new church organ. That's what I'm collecting for.
What?
Now, you see, the one that Reverend Broom's congregation has been using, it sort of gave up the ghost last night, and what with Easter coming on,
joshing me, mister?
No. No, of course I'm not.
You mean you're out here trying to raise money so you can buy a church organ?
That's right.
Go on. Get moving before I take a shot at you.
You won't give me a hand, huh?
I wouldn't give you 5 cents for every church organ west of the Mississippi River.
Now, it wasn't your money I wanted.
What?
No. No, it wasn't that at all.
What the devil did you come around bothering me for?
Well, I was thinking that you're a pretty influential man with some of the folks hereabouts.
Yeah, they'll toe the mark if I tell them to. You can bet on that.
Yeah, well, that's just the impression I got.
So what?
Well, it seemed to me that if I was to go moseying around these parts alone, some of your friends might not look too kindly on the idea of giving me donations.
They sure wouldn't.
But on the other hand, if we were to approach them together as a kind of a team, you might say.
A team?
That's the general idea, yeah.
You want me to go along with you?
I sure would appreciate it if you would.
And help you raise money for a church organ?
That's right.
Me taking up a Sunday school collection. Well, that's the doggondest notion anybody ever had. What do the boys think? Jack Denton, Wisconsin Billy? Why, it'd be almost worth it just to see their faces. You sure got a sense of humor, Potson. And you know something, this here crazy scheme of yours, I'm going to take you up on it.
You know something, Mr. Jones?
What?
You know something? I kind of thought you would.
You are listening to The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman whose name has become a legend throughout the great Southwest. And now, Act Two of the story called Crisis at Easter Creek.
Well, the first place we came to was a farmhouse about a quarter of a mile south of Red Eye's cabin. At least it had been a farmhouse once. And there sure wasn't any crops growing in the vicinity now. The porch sagged off at a slant, and the windows were stuffed full of papers and rags. Even the front door looked like it was about to slide off its hinges. The place really looked deserted, but Red Eye gave me the nod, and we pulled up and dismounted. Old Red Eye, he had a great big grin as wide as a full moon spread all over his face. Been there ever since we started off.
Hey, Denton! Get out here, Denton! It's me, Red Eye!
Well, I guess you knowed who I was anyway, didn't you?
Well, I had a pretty good idea.
Howdy, Red Eye. What can I do for you?
Denton, this here's Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett?
Howdy, Denton.
Now, don't you worry, Red Eye. Even if he did get the draw on you, he ain't turning you over to no sheriff.
Oh, put your gun away, Denton.
Huh?
Use your eyes. Ponsett ain't covered me, is he?
Then, what are you doing riding along with him?
Well, we got us a little project. You explain it to it, Ponsett.
Well, the fact is, we're collecting money to buy a new organ for Reverend Broom.
What?
That's right, Jack.
Oh. Sounds to me like you said money for a new organ. I must be getting loco.
I sure ain't gonna argue that with you, Denton. Well, come on. Come on, fork over.
You mean you're serious, Red Eye?
Of course I'm serious.
And he must be holding a gun on you.
I ain't got all day, Denton. How much we need, Britt?
Well, let's see, 12 from 50, $38.
Well, you heard him. Stanton?
Sure, Edna. Just let me look in my purse here. Oh, yeah, $220 gold pieces. How's that?
Well, I didn't mean that you had to contribute the whole thing.
Just keep the change.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
My pleasure entirely. Was there anything else, Red Eye?
No, I guess that'll do it for now. Let's go, Ponson.
Yeah, sure. Easy, boy.
I'm glad you boys stopped by. Anytime I can... Well, you know where to find me.
Now, we'll stop at Mike Morgan's place next. That's just down the road.
Well, that's mighty considerate of you, Red Eye, but we don't need to make another stop.
What? Well, what are you talking about?
Well, $38, that's all we needed, you see.
Oh.
See, the organ's all paid for now.
Well, there must be something else the Reverend needs money for, ain't it?
Oh, I suppose. Well,
doggone it, Ponson. I'm enjoying myself. Besides, it wouldn't be fair to the rest of the boys if Denton was the only one who got a chance to do a little contributing to charity. The least we can do is stop at Mike Morgan's, since how we're so close.
I said, well, whatever you say. Whatever you say, Red Eye. Well, we made about 8 more stops before evening, and I must say that all of Red Eye's friends are mighty generous. I even had to turn down the offer of a couple of cows for the cause, seeing as how there was some doubt as to the legal owner of the stock in question. But the gold and the silver and the paper money, well, there just wasn't any way of telling how that was come by. At least, wasn't any way I could think of. So by sundown, I was carrying quite a load of cash. And we were riding away from Slick Wilson's place when Red Eye gave a little sigh and looked at me sort of disappointed.
Well, guess I better head back home now.
Sure, Red Eye, sure. What's the matter?
I was just thinking about how Mike Morgan tripped over his shotgun when I told him what it was we wanted.
Nearly
blowed himself right over the bar.
Yeah, it's kind of a close call, wasn't it?
Doggone it, I don't see why Wisconsin Billy wasn't at home. Well, he'd have been fit to be tied.
Well, we did all right without him. You know. He's...
Say, it's Britt. Oh, why don't you come back tomorrow, huh?
Oh, no.
He'll probably be around then.
Oh, no. No, thanks, Red Eye. I got a whole lot more than I ever expected. And I sure do appreciate your assistance.
Oh, pleasure's all mine. Well, good luck.
Same to you, Red Eye.
It was about an hour's ride back to town, but before I'd gone more than halfway, I got the feeling there was somebody following me. I sure didn't like it either. Not with all this money I had in the saddlebags. So I gave Scar a little touch of the spur. Come on, boy. Come on. Let's go. When I heard the other horse pounding up the trail after me, let's go, boy. Come on. Let's go. His first shot was over my head. But there wasn't any point in trying to outrun him, Scar being as tired as he was. So I slid out of the saddle and I rolled over behind a rock. He was still coming, so I eased my gun out of the holster and inched up to get a look at him. He was a big fella, holding his revolver loose in his hand like he didn't figure on using it. Well, I didn't figure on letting him rob me either. I waited until he was about even with the rock where I was hiding. Then I stood up.
Drop it! Drop it! Okay, take it easy, Ponson.
Why, you know who I am, huh?
Red Eye told me you was heading this way. I've been trying to catch up with you for the last 15 minutes.
You mean Red Eye sent you after me?
I'll say he did.
Well, I'll be darned. I thought I had him figured different. Now, I suppose he told you about the money, too.
Sure, here's mine.
Hmm?
My share. Catch.
What? Your share?
Plymouth Church organ. Name's Wisconsin Billy. I was out when you come by to collect this afternoon.
Oh. Oh.
Then I wanted to make certain you got my donation.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Now, do you mind handing me my gun?
You got it? No, not a bit. Here you are.
Thanks. Well, so long, Ponset.
Oh, yes, so long there.
I simply can't believe it, Mr. Ponset. There must be over $1,000 here.
Just about, Reverend, just about.
Enough for the organ, enough to build a church, too.
Yeah? Well.
Mr. Ponset.
Yeah?
Now, you mustn't think me ungrateful, but I'm afraid we can't accept this money.
What?
Well, you see, Sheriff Appleton told me where you got it.
He did, huh?
Now, mind you, I don't have any objections myself. I think when help is offered, it should be accepted, irregardless of the source. But some of my people, they aren't quite so broad-minded. And the idea of permitting Red Eye Kirk and those other outlaws to donate to our fund, well...
Now, just hold on a minute, Reverend Brome. Now, just hold on. Now, when I was talking to Sheriff Appleton earlier today, he claimed that there weren't any outlaws in the vicinity of Easter Creek.
Well, we don't like to admit that our town is a haven.
The sheriff said that if there were any bandits around here, it was his duty to arrest them. Of course, that would mean getting a posse together. It would probably mean a lot of shooting and killing.
Well, Mr. Ponson, everybody knows it. I mean, it's common knowledge.
And as for Red Eye Kirk ever having anything to do with that money I raised, well, you could be mistaken, Reverend.
But you were seen riding along. Well, it looked like Red Eye.
Didn't Sheriff Applin ever tell you about the fellow that lives out near Deer Mountain who's supposed to be the spitting image of Red Eye Kirk? Didn't he ever tell you about
it? Now, Mr. Ponson.
No, even if some of those fellows on the other side of the creek are sort of outside the law. Now, I'm not saying they are, mind you, but even so, you know, accusing them of being criminals, it might stir up a whole lot of trouble.
That's true, of course.
And besides, Sheriff Applin says they're law-abiding citizens, and he's your duly elected sheriff. He sure ought to know. Hmm? Well, night, Reverend. I'll see you in church. Well, I guess there was a little argument about whether or not to accept the money, but Sheriff Appleton finally convinced folks that they didn't have any right to turn it down. So, by the following Sunday, Easter, the congregation had a new organ. And the service was real well attended, too. Now, some of the folks didn't look like regular churchgoers. But Red Eye, Mr. Jones, he explained to me afterwards that he and his friends just wanted to make sure their contributions had been put to a good use. I don't know if they've been back since, but you never can tell, you know. Reverend Broome preached a real fine sermon that morning.
Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Marvin Miller, Ted DeCorsia, Robert Griffin, and Red Eye Kirk. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Well, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. play Truth or Consequences with Ralph Edwards on the NBC Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of OTRWesterns.com, and we hope you enjoyed. Please take some time to like and rate our shows in your favorite podcast application. Follow us on Facebook by going to OTRWesterns.com/Facebook. Join in the conversation by going to OTRWesterns.com/Discord. And don't forget to send us an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. This episode is copyright under the Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike copyright. For more information, go to OTRWesterns.com/copyright. Have a great day, and again, thanks for listening.